The LA Clippers made it four in a row in what was probably their biggest game of the season. Ty Lue, in my opinion, had his best game of the season. Why was that, and what did he do differently that allowed Russell Westbrook to be so effective as opposed to the last time he played the Warriors and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? Just how good were they, and how were the Clippers able to withstand a 50-point masterclass from Stephen Curry? Gonna talk about it all on today's Locked On 4-in-a-Row Clippers.
Our Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir, you are locking in with the Clips. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers the first listen of your day, your team every day. I'm your host, Darian Vaziri, in my 18th season as a Clipper fan. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod, or subscribe to my own YouTube channel, Dime Dropper, for more Clipper content. Went live directly after the Warriors game. I was not in attendance. This episode is brought to you by the Ultimate Basketball, Pro Basketball GM app. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NBA GM, well, you can feel what that's like with the Ultimate Pro Basketball GM app. You can hire the right coaches, you can trade, you can make draft picks, all that good stuff on the Ultimate Pro Basketball GM app. But on this episode of Locked On Clippers, and mind you, Locked On Clippers is free and available on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including YouTube, where I want you to tell me as of now, where do you... What grade would you give the Russell Westbrook experience thus far? Because not the Russell Westbrook experience, but the fit, I should say. Because it's looking like now we've seen enough where Ty Lue has done a good job using Russ so far. No matter what we've said about Ty Lue, I think he's done a much better job schematically using Russ. And just you can see that the personnel on the Clippers is so much better for him than the Lakers. So give me the grade of what you think of the Russ move right now. Because I'm going to be talking about how Ty Lue had his best coaching game of the season and the way he used Russ so well. And then, of course, going to be talking about Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and just the game in general. But let's get to it. The immediate adjustment that I saw that Ty Lue made. By the way, the last episode of Locked On Clippers, I was 100% correct when I said DiVincenzo would be guarding Paul George and Klay Thompson would be guarding Kawhi. That start, and they both of them were having some trouble. But the main thing that was great, was amazing standout, was that Paul George was guarding Stephen Curry to start the game and Kawhi Leonard was guarding Klay Thompson. When you got your two best players guarding their two best players, mind you, no Andrew Wiggins tonight and they missed him badly, that's when you know it's a different sort of mentality from the top down. And for the third consecutive game, the Clippers defense was really good. But back to Ty Lue. The reason why I think he had his best coaching game was we were very comfortable with Draymond Green shooting any kind of shot. It was a clear point of emphasis to let him shoot. And the Clippers, yeah, Zubats and Russell Westbrook are two non-spacers, but Kevon Looney and Draymond Green are also two non-spacers. So the Clippers were able to take advantage of that in their own way. However, 126 to 134, the offenses weren't problems in this one. But what Ty Lue did with Russ, I thought he was going to make him the screener a lot and just go with dribble handoffs when teams were sagging off of him so then other guys can walk into mid-ranges as he sets the screen and hands the ball off. We saw a little bit of Russ as the screener, but the main thing he did was when we throw the ball to the wing, Russell Westbrook would go all the way to the weak side corner. And the reason he did that was because Draymond Green, who's their best help defender, was guarding Russell Westbrook. Now Draymond Green can't really double team because he's got the longest distance to cover to get to the ball. So what you have to do is, if you want to double team with DiVincenzo guarding Kawhi or him guarding Paul George or whatever, or Steph guarding one of them, now you're probably going to double with whoever's closest. Or you're going to fake double, just do the load up where they have a choice either to take that shot one-on-one over the top of the defense or get the ball moving and try to attack closeouts and just see what's there by moving the ball and seeing the Warriors' defense in rotation. But because he's so far away, he now, the only thing he's helping is, let's, you know, try to picture this for me. Let's say Kawhi Leonard's being guarded by Dante DiVincenzo and Paul George is spotting up at the top and Steph Curry's guarding him. Ivica Zubats is being guarded by Kevon Looney. But if they want a double, let's say Kevon Looney leaves Zubats to go load up against Kawhi Leonard. Draymond Green guarding Russell Westbrook in the weak side corner now would take Zubats because Kawhi can easily just throw a direct pass to Zubats for a layup or dunk underneath. So now, if Kawhi throws the cross-court pass to Russ, Draymond and the Warriors defense, with the ball in the air longer, has more time to recover. So that's why teams do that. Overload and make you throw the pass to the deep corner. But what the Clippers were doing was, not only were Kawhi Leonard and Paul George making the mid-range, they were passing it to one pass away, they were attacking closeouts, and just doing a great job moving the ball. And the two ways that Russ countered it were, one, it's clear, and I've mentioned this several times on other episodes, that the Clippers or the coaching staff, they are encouraging Russell Westbrook to take the corner three. And honestly, I've said I don't think Russell Westbrook should shoot threes, but I'm going to make an adjustment to that statement. I am okay with the corner three. I know it's one game, but I'm pretty sure his percentage has not been horrendous, and it does keep the defense honest to a degree, and when he makes it, it really increases his confidence, and it's a big momentum shot because people don't expect it to go in, so they're going to get a louder cheer when it does go in. But 2 for 5 from three in this game for Russ, that's amazing. 40% from deep, all those were corner threes, if I'm not mistaken. You've got to love that. But the main thing that came out of it besides that corner three was his offensive rebounding. With no body on him, he can attack the offensive glass. And he did that very well. He got a couple of second chance points. And there was one time in that second quarter where he poked the ball from behind. I think it was Draymond Green who had the ball on the rebound. Russ poked it from behind, kicked it out to Paul George, who missed a three. Long rebound. Russell Westbrook gets it back, gives it back to Paul George, who, same spot, different result. That time he made it. But there were just a couple of amazing offensive rebounds where he came out of nowhere. And that's what happens when you double off him and leave him alone and ignore him. He can affect the game in the other way, and that was using the weak side corner to act like he wasn't a threat, crashing the glass. Another thing I like that they did, when Russell Westbrook is at the top of the key and being sagged off so much, he can go, I always say, take the space. Well, he didn't pass up every mid-range. He had that beautiful bank shot on the left side of the court later in the game when he was feeling it off an offensive rebound. But there were two or three times where he just went right at the chest of the guy that was sagging off him, whether it be Klay Thompson or Draymond Green. And I like that. They were encouraging him, or maybe that was just him on his own, attacking the basket and not being baited into that jumper. And what was the best part about Russ in this game, he wasn't being baited into the jumper. He was passing it up, even though you can hear people in the crowd yelling, shoot, shoot, and just the moans and whatever. He was just staying with it, and the Clippers were running their offense as normal, and that's the way that Ty Lue, the second way he countered it, besides putting him in the weak side corner. The one thing, when guys sag off of Russ that much, he's got all this space to make a good pass. He's got all the time in the world to make a clear-cut good pass. So when we're running our actions for players to get open off the ball, we are doing it in a way that all they need is to receive the ball from Russ in their shooter's pocket and go rise up and shoot or take one or two dribbles and shoot. There was one time where Nico Batum got an off-ball screen, popped out to the right corner. Russ hit him right in the shooting pocket and he knocked it down. Same thing for Paul George and Kawhi. There was also another time where they got Zubats isolated under the basket. Russ has all this room to pass the ball, feeds it right to him. Within 1 or 2 seconds, whoever's guarding Russ can't double on that because it's so fast and they're already getting to their shooting motion by the time the defense, the guy that's guarding Russ, even notices that he's passed. It's too late at that point. And when Russ passes the ball right on the dot in the shooter's pocket, instead of, you know, a little bit low or a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right where they have to adjust, at the NBA level with these athletes, that half a second of making that crisp pass gets him a clear shot as opposed to a semi-contested shot. And Russell Westbrook found a way to affect the game. He didn't have great on-ball defense in this one, besides one possession where he defended Klay Thompson well in the post. But off the ball, he was pretty darn good, had an amazing rotation and interception in that second half, and I thought it was one of his best games as a Clipper for him. And you got to credit Ty Lue. I've been critical of him all season. He was assisted by Marcus Morris getting ejected in the second quarter, but Russell Westbrook, he didn't shoot amazing, 6 for 16 overall, 2 for 5 from deep, was great, but 15 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 offensive rebounds, and the stat that is absolutely the best of them all, Russell Westbrook with his first 0 turnover game for the Clippers. 0 to match the number 0, and a huge win for the Clips. 134-126. Shout out to Ty Lue and Russell Westbrook for absolutely fantastic performances from each of them. But speaking of great performances, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, what made it such a great game for them? And Steph Curry, oh boy, oh boy, he went off. Going to be talking about that coming up. Before we do that, the Ultimate Pro Basketball GM app is the best app around right now. And it's for anybody that's always wanted to be an NBA GM like me. You can hire the right coaches and assistants. You can trade and train players. All this is on an app where you can be a GM, navigating your own franchise through everything that GMs go through in the league. Free agency, the draft, everything. Locked On Clippers listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit ProBasketballGM.com, scan the code, or look it up on the app stores. That's ProBasketballGM.com. Ultimate Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. All right. So looking at the Clippers' performance, I thought right in the beginning, they actually struggled. They were down 8-1, and they could not hit a shot to save their lives. But when I saw Kawhi Leonard being guarded by Klay Thompson, and I saw Paul George being guarded by DiVincenzo, I knew that if they just were aggressive, eventually the Warriors are going to say, look, those guys can't guard Kawhi and Paul George. We're going to have to send doubles. We're going to have to load up. And that's going to create open shots and ball movement for the Clippers. And that's precisely what happened. I also think the Clippers just showed for the third consecutive game a level of defensive intensity. You know, they just, as I said, for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to guard the two best players on the other team, I also think, you know, with the Warriors' offense, they run so many off-ball screens. They're read and react. It's so hard to guard them. But you need impeccable communication, because what they cause with all their movement is a lot of human error, a lot of miscommunications, talking through all those off-ball screens. They're not your basic top-of-the-key high-ball screen action all the time. They're going to have a bunch of off-ball screens, bunch of cutters, bunch of split action, all that kind of stuff. And the Clippers did a good job of sagging off Kevon Looney and Draymond Green and talking through all of those. You know, when Kawhi Leonard is guarding Klay and Paul George is guarding Steph and those two are setting a screen for each other, that's an easy switch right there because both of them are comfortable guarding either. So the Clippers knew their coverages. They knew who they were switching. They knew who they were not switching, what they were, you know, Zubat started out and dropped coverage a little bit, moved to hedge and recover later in the game. They seem to execute the game plan very well, but I think overall it starts from an effort standpoint. You look at the box score or you look at the score of the game and you say the Warriors scored 126 points. That's not good defense. But here's the thing. The Clippers' weakness right now is their on-ball defense, their point-of-attack defense. Because even Terrence Mann, who I thought was incredible in this game, and I'm going to be talking about him a little more too, but his screen navigation lately, I've been focusing on it, has not been great. He's taken out of plays on screens a lot lately. Just pay attention to it. But he still offers that energy. He gets to loose balls. He's still quicker laterally than a lot of players in the Clippers rotation and on the team. So I love Terrence. I still think he's one of the best defenders the Clippers have. But at the point of attack, the Clippers are fairly weak, even with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard guarding the ball, straight up. But off ball, and a lot of today's NBA is just team defense, pick and roll defense, all that kind of stuff. The Clippers have been sharper the last three games, and it starts with Kawhi and Paul. It really does. Not just them taking the best assignments, being active, fighting through screens, talking, and they did both. I thought Paul George was the best defensive player in this game today. There were a couple times where I said, oh, come on, Kawhi. You know, he got lost off the ball or whatnot. Very few times. But Paul George, almost never. I thought he was, for me, the player of the game, but you can easily argue Kawhi. Probably was Kawhi because of his offense. But Kawhi's Paul George's defense was the best to me, and he's been fantastic since I started talking about his defense being poor and below standard after the Sacramento game. But that game against Memphis, these four wins, you can look at it from Paul George's defense and look at how that's translated to the results. And also, special shout-out to Paul George. Ever since he started his podcast, Podcast P is undefeated. So I absolutely love the way he played in this one, and Kawhi Leonard as well. You know, Kawhi got going more towards the end of that first quarter when Paul George sat out, and the Clippers ran their nine-man rotation. No Bones Highland, no Robert Covington, Eric Gordon, Mason Plumlee, Terrence Mann, and Nico Batum off the bench. Marcus Morris was really the only starter that in that first quarter stint just did absolutely nothing good, in my opinion. I mean, he contested a couple of shots decently, but Russ wasn't amazing either in that first stint. Paul George, Kawhi, Zoo were pretty good. Kawhi Leonard, towards the end of that first quarter, was starting to hit, got into his mid-range, and after he hit that first mid-range, I knew he was going to start hitting. Got to the line a couple of times, ended the quarter with a long jumper. And then the second quarter, when Paul George came in for him, so they were staggering them, we started out with a little bit of elbow P. And I said in the last episode, I said, you got to get a lot of elbow P looks. I think it was only three or four possessions, and we're all in that stretch where they did it. First two times, right over the top of Klay Thompson. Bucket. Third time, they loaded up. I don't remember exactly what kind of shot we got. Then the fourth time, I think they may have gotten a stop, or it was an isolation, and they loaded up again. But overall, we get really good looks with that elbow P. Paul George catching the ball at the elbow or in the mid post, because he doesn't have to work too hard, doesn't have to put it on the floor so much, and can rise up over the top of 90% of the defenders that guard him there. So I thought that was really good. He started to get going, and the Clippers bench overall just did a really good job. Terrence Mann, Eric Gordon, Mason Plumlee was decent. Zubats was better though, obviously. But the third quarter, the Warriors were the aggressors. They started out, you know, they were down by three at halftime, but they started out better and took a five-point lead. But the Clippers responded, and it was mainly Kawhi Leonard, whose three-point shot has just been ridiculous lately. 3-for-7 from deep in this game for him. He's just been lights out. Just that line drive jumper, so cash. And Paul George also was doing a good job attacking the basket. You know, the Clippers had over double the amount of free throw attempts of the Warriors in this one. So you can argue there was a little bit of home-centric officiating, but we'll take it. We don't usually get a great whistle. Paul George got to the line 6 times, Kawhi Leonard 7. The Clippers shot 32 free throws, made 26 of them for 81%. Warriors only 15 free throws and made 11 of them for 73%. But Kawhi Leonard continued to be great. When teams load up on mid-range snipers, it doesn't really matter. You got to hard double that if you really want to get the ball out of his hands. The mid-range or the load-up will prevent him from driving at times, because when you drive, his defender's sitting, but you can find the open man. But sometimes it's just more comfortable to just shoot over the top like you're still playing one-on-one, because it's not a double team until you meet that defender, the secondary defender. But, yeah. Steph Curry was making me extremely nervous. He was putting on a show. And that guy, I mean, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. What can you say? He was scoring in every which way. And that's why when I say the Clippers' defense was good, even though they allowed 126 points. You know, yes, the Warriors missed some shots. I shouldn't say good. It was solid. But Kawhi and Paul's defense was good. Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole just cooled down in the second half. I think Steph Curry just didn't get enough help second half, but he was just scorching. I mean, some of the shots he was making, you just can't do anything about. He was moving without the ball. Backdoor cuts. Coming off screens for threes. Off the dribble for threes. Off the dribble for mid-ranges. High pick and roll with Zubats. Getting him just... Zoo was getting, I mean, I felt bad for the guy because he's a good pick and roll defender, but you got to really step up on Steph Curry's three, and his hesitation is so filthy. Zoo was jumping at that, and Steph was just blowing right past him, splitting the trap or the hedge, whatever it may be, between the two players that were coming up to guard that pick and roll for the Clips. He was scoring in every which way. Circus shots around the basket. I mean, it was insane. The fans that went to the game got their money's worth in this one. But ultimately, he didn't get the help. 50 points for Steph Curry on 20 for 28 shooting and 8 for 14 from 3. Weirdly, though, 2 for 4 from the line. Steph Curry was just absolutely electric in this game. Only 2 turnovers for him. But nobody else on the team scored 20 points or more. Draymond Green, only 8 points. Klay Thompson, 6 for 16 and 15 points. And that's the same as Russell Westbrook shot, 6 for 16. But Russ contributed in a lot more different ways than just, or should I say, than Klay Thompson did. And the Warriors bench, outside of Jordan Poole, only gave them 18 points. Eric Gordon was huge in the third quarter for the Clippers, just absolutely massive. But at the end of the day, Paul George closed the deal with some big threes, Kawhi Leonard was guarding Steph Curry a little more in the fourth quarter, and ultimately, it was the stars that set the tone on defense that continue to be amazing and the main reason why the Clippers are on a four-game winning streak. Kawhi Leonard, arguably the player of the game, probably was 36 minutes of play, 30 points, another 30 piece, 10 for 19 from the field, 3 for 7 from deep, and 7 for 7 from the line. The guy's been so efficient lately, it's insane. 8 rebounds, 5 of those came in the first quarter, 5 assists, good help defense, solid on-ball defense, solid fighting through screens, 2 steals, only 2 turnovers, was just amazing. And the two biggest reasons the Clippers won this game, besides everything I've said so far, they turned the ball over far less than the Warriors. Warriors 16 turnovers, Clippers only 7. So a lot of that was active hands, just taking advantage of the Warriors' mistakes and making them pay on those mistakes, getting run outs, pushing the ball quickly, passing the ball up the court fast without dribbling too much, and they were making them pay. 16 turnovers for the Dubs to 7 for the Clips, and 16 offensive rebounds for the Clippers to 7 for the Warriors. So you give a team extra possessions that much, you are going to lose on the road. And the Clippers win it. Paul George, 8 for 21 from the field, not the most efficient, but it doesn't matter because he did so many other amazing things. 24 points and 7 assists and also only 1 turnover. So you love to see a combined 1 turnover for Paul George and Russ, the turnover brothers as I labeled them previously. 4 for 9 from deep for PG. He was awesome, but played 40 minutes, which is a little bit much. But coming up, going to talk about the role players, the supporting cast. What did I like from Terrence Mann, Eric Gordon, Marcus Morris Sr. ejection? Going to be talking about all that coming up. Before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now's your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know I'll be voting for the Raspberry Bar. And if you want the Clippers to win, then you'll be voting for that bar too. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. That's an amazing offer. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You gotta try Built. The best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing. You wouldn't even think they're good for you. They're chocolate on the outside, 100% real chocolate, chewy, gooey on the inside. What makes Built Bar and Puff so good? Well, for starters, they're all high in protein, low in sugar, even though you can't even tell, and covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. That was my best impression of that SpongeBob fish. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. On Saturday, I'm taking the Clippers money line against the Orlando Magic. I mean, the Magic are not a great team, but I got the Clippers winning because they're on a roll right now. I took the Clippers money line against the Warriors, and I came up successful with that one. And FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So the Clippers scored 35 points in the fourth, 38 points in the third, and 33 in the second. So to score 33-plus points in 3 out of 4 quarters just shows how much better the Clippers' offense is looking, and it all starts from the best players, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, dominating in isolation, but you got to iso them in the right spots, and mostly for them, and that's partially on them as well, but it's the mid-post, mid-range area, elbow for Paul George. You know, not so much the top of the key. And now that Russ is there, he takes away some of those high pick and roll, top of the key areas and looks, and that's good. But the Clippers offense has been rolling. And when those two guys are attracting secondary defenders, that's when the ball gets moving. That's when you see all the shooting the Clippers have. And with guys like Eric Gordon, Terrence Mann, and Russ, they're attacking closeouts more and look a little more athletic. But let's look at the team stats, though, in this one. The Clippers shooting 47% from three in this one, 16 for 34. Absolutely amazing. Warriors also shot really well from three, even though a lot of that was Steph. 47.2%, so only 0.1% higher than the Clippers. One three-pointer made more than the Clippers. But the Clippers made 15 more free throws than the Warriors and attempted 17 more. Clippers out-rebounded the Warriors, 44-36. As I mentioned earlier, 16-7 on the offensive glass. 30-28 for the Clippers in the assist category. 11-5 in the steal category. We had 16 points off the Warriors' turnovers. They only had 8 off of ours. And the Clippers had 19 fast break points, so the Warriors 14. But a big reason for that, the bench guys. Mason Plumlee played the least of any bench player on the Clippers, and I thought he was okay in his role. You know, 4 points for him, 5 rebounds in 17 minutes, 2 for 2 from the field, finished around the rim, was able to rebound. Nico Batum played the second least amount of minutes, and I thought he was very solid in his minutes. He made 2 threes, one off the Russell Westbrook dime that I mentioned earlier. The other one, I think, was in his first in the first half. He had 6 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, always active hands. And the Clippers just did a really good job using their length, their size, to get their hands on the ball, whether it be Nico, Paul George, Kawhi, Terrence Mann, whoever it may be. 2 for 5 for Nico, 2 for 4 from three. Terrence Mann was just awesome, attacking closeouts, going to the rim, playing hard as usual, and the athleticism that he adds to the team, the passion. He created an offensive foul, got offensive rebounds. He was just awesome. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 0 turnovers in 25 minutes of play on 6 for 10 shooting, shot 1 3, made it, got to the line 5 times, and made 4 of them. The man for the big occasion was amazing yet again. He continues to be exceptional and needs to play more, but it is what it is. Eric Gordon in this one, amazing third quarter. Was wide open a lot for three, those deep ones that Clipper, you know, media and people have talked about so much, those 30-footers. And I got to say, EJ for three, bingo, many a time on this night. It was amazing. Eric Gordon with 5 straight good games after atrocious, 3 atrocious ones. Or should I say 4 atrocious ones after we got Russ and the All-Star break ended. 5 for 11 from the field for EJ. 4 for 8 from deep. His defense was also good. He got 2 steals. He had 16 points off the bench. Terrence Mann and Eric Gordon had 33 points off the bench between the two of them. That is awesome. And then Nico Batum with 6, Mason Plumlee with 4. So the Clippers bench obviously outscored the Warriors bench. And then I already talked about Paul George, Kawhi, and Russ's stat line, but Ivica Zubac was absolutely spectacular as well. And Ty Lue actually closed with Zoo. That's been something I've always talked about, is whether he closes with Zoo or not. And for a second, it looked like Steph Curry was attacking him in the pick and roll, trying to play him off the floor. But Zoo was making the Warriors pay because they had guys like Draymond and Jamichael Green at center. Former Clipper Jamichael Green, and Zoo did a great job of dominating on the glass and being a presence down low, finishing around the rim. I still think we could have fed the big fella more. He had 8 field goal attempts, made 6 of them, shot 8 free throws, made 7 of them, which is great because Zoo at times has struggled with his foul shots this season, but 19 points and 16 boards and 5 offensive rebounds. I mean, Zoo was just spectacular. And the Clippers get their 4th win in a row. They tie the season series with the Warriors and are now in the 5th spot, half a game behind the Phoenix Suns for the 4th spot. So I'm not going to look big picture in this episode. All I'll say is this. One game at a time, the Clippers should make it 5 against Orlando. Going to have another episode before that. They got another 2-day rest, which is awesome. This rest worked out really well for them. So another more rest is even better. And the vibes are really good right now. I mean, Russell Westbrook's attitude's been fantastic. Paul George is playing better. Kawhi Leonard's playing all-world basketball right now. And I think the Clippers shouldn't even look at seeding right now. Just keep going. Just become the best version of yourselves. The Phoenix Suns with KD out, they're struggling. And listen, I would rather have 3, obviously. It doesn't seem like the Clippers are going to get there. And I may honestly rather have 6 than 4 or 5, depending on matchup. But I always say, if you're really a championship team and confident, you shouldn't duck anybody. The Denver Nuggets aren't playing great right now. And the Clippers in the one matchup with Russ were not that far from beating them. But I would rather have 4 than 5. And right now the Clippers are in 5. But the Clippers are 37-33 on the season now, 19-15 at home. The Warriors are 7-27 on the road. And remember in the last episode I said, when great players say they really want to win, it looks like they're going to get one. And Steph Curry was trying so hard to get one. Like, he really came out and backed that talk up with 50 points, but it wasn't enough. And the Clippers get a huge win against the Warriors and make it 4 games over .500 now, 134-126. Make sure to comment on today's pinned question. What grade would you give the Russell Westbrook fit so far, now that you're starting to see it work a little bit? And be honest with it. Because right now you're seeing that Ty Lue will go away from him. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but Ty Lue not closing with Russ was big. I think he honestly could have had him in for a little bit longer and then pulled him like the last 5 minutes. Because he obviously wants shooters on the court at the end, unless you're Zubats, which I'm fine with. And it honestly helps Russ, because he played so well by the time he went out that if he had not contributed or played or touched the court again, you could end the game saying that he was great. And he was. But I still think he could have played a little bit more than that. But I love that Ty Lue doesn't really fully close with him, and he still keeps a good attitude, because that way I think Russ can be a huge positive for the team and the negatives will be mitigated. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod. Of course, subscribe to my own YouTube channel, Dime Dropper, for even more Clipper content. Went live, gave my raw reaction right after the game. Make sure to hit the notification bell for Locked On Clippers so you know every time we post a video. The view count's been amazing, so I just want to thank you guys all so much. We reached 2,000 subscribers. Comment on this video. Let me know. We're trying to build out here. They say Clipper Nation got no fans. I say, screw that. We got the best fans in the world. Clip gang or don't bang, sonny. The age-old proverb continues. Actually, before that, thanks for making Locked On Clippers your first listen today. Now make your second listen, Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. The age-old proverb continues. Go Clippers!